The Positively Wolfy Podcast. Unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. The Positively Wolfy Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Positively Wolfy Podcast. They call me Mr. Positivity Wolfy T. You can follow me on Twitter at PositivityWolf1. And if you want to email the show, you can reach us at PositivityWolfy@Comcast.net. On today's show, we're going to discuss, might as well just legalize it, the Walmart robots bounce back, and the deceased like to have fun. Today I'm joined once again by my co-host, Brother Clint.
What's up, everybody? I'm not deceased, but I do like to have fun.
He'd love to laugh.
I've never heard anyone described as he hated to laugh.
I think that's come up on the podcast once or twice recently about like what a stupid description of somebody. He loved to have fun. He loved to laugh. Like, meet me, you know, let me meet the person who hates to have fun.
Ebenezer Scrooge, maybe. Might be the only one, if he was even a real person.
He wasn't. That was not a real story.
Just ruined my childhood there, brother.
It was made up.
He's my idol.
That's how WWE describes every brand new baby face. He loves to have fun.
Well, that's how they described the divas back in the day. Like, I was going through watching the old NXT, and then they'd have a bunch of new divas, and they're always bubbly and cheerful and love to laugh. Love to laugh and have fun.
There was a time where, like, everybody on the main roster of WWE, like, it was like Vince McMahon just told them to go out there and smile, like, as much as possible. Because, like, Finn Balor would do it, Bobby Lashley would do it. Like, all these guys would just go out there with these big-ass smiles, and that's all their character was, just them smiling. That's how you know he's a good guy.
Yeah. Good guys are happy. Bad guys are angry.
Oh. I will say, I'm going to share this story. Chola's probably going to get mad at me, but I'm going to tell a story about I broke down and I went and got vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So if this is the last episode of Positively Wolfy, that's probably why. But after I got the shot, for shits and giggles, I took a selfie of myself in the car with my vaccine card. And then I photoshopped a picture of like the specter of Bill Gates in my backseat. And I sent it to a few people. And Brother Clint saw it right away. He figured it out. But I sent it to Chola. And she's like, oh my God, there's a ghost in your backseat. And I played dumb. I'm like, what? She's there's a ghost in your backseat. Who is that? I'm like, oh my God, what is that? What the fuck? She's like, is there a billboard or something? Like a reflection? I'm like, no, there's no billboards over there. What are you talking about? Who is that? And she's like, oh, my God, your car is haunted. What's going on? And I'm like, oh, my God, you know who that is? I knew I shouldn't have got vaccinated. And then she's like, no, who is that? I'm like, it's Bill Gates, you dummy. Like, I zoomed in on it, and she still couldn't figure out who it was.
It's just like how high, instead of smoking weed of your dead friend, you're getting vaccinated with Bill Gates' microchip. And now you have a built-in Alexa, basically.
Like, the other people I sent it to didn't even mention it. Like, it was, they didn't even see it, or, like, they weren't bothered by it. But I thought it was funny. Like, everybody's, like, afraid of Bill Gates and his vaccine, so I thought, I'll make it look like Bill Gates is haunting me now that I'm vaccinated.
I mean, if you haven't heard that Bill Gates in the vaccine conspiracy theories, I mean, you need to, you know, get edumacated.
My cell phone reception is a lot better, though.
Oh, I bet. I got it. You don't even need the cell phone anymore. Be like that episode of South Park or Elon Musk, you know, putting the implant in your head and you can just tweet your thoughts. Now I could do phone calls and go on the internet and text message.
Oh my God. And if you listen to last week's episode, you'll know that Elon Musk is also going to start Jurassic Park. He's going to bring dinosaurs back just for fun.
Doesn't any of these people watch movies? Like, we know how it all ends up.
Oh, for sure, right? I heard he's going to be on SNL, and I heard everybody's afraid of him being on SNL. Like, all the cast members don't all work with him because, I don't know, I guess because he's a billionaire? I don't know.
I thought it was because they just didn't plain like him. I didn't think they were afraid, necessarily. It just sounds like he's a big douchebag or something like that.
Well, I think they think he's alt-right, and he's probably not really.
I think he's a mix of both. I don't align myself to any one thing, because I'm not going to just follow the crowd on stuff. And maybe he's kind of the same. He kind of does his own thing. I mean, he moved to Texas to get away from those crazy California tax policies.
Right. Like everybody else that, had a lot of money in California.
But I think a lot of Californians are moving to Texas. I won't be surprised if it turns blue in 2 years.
Well, all the Texans were like, don't fucking bring your politics here. Like, you can move here, but stop voting. Like, don't vote for the stuff that made you leave California in the first place.
We like being unprepared when it snows every once a decade, and we run out of power, and our power's run out of gas, and, they charge us a shit ton.
And we can't leech off of neighboring states because we're on our own grid.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if they made themselves their own country? Like, they were asking Biden for help. Like, we wouldn't even give them help if they weren't in our country anymore, I don't think. Right. Maybe, but.
Well, it depends on how they left. I assume if they left, there would be bad blood there.
Yeah, I don't think we would want to help them right away. Like, we'd be like, let's figure it out on your own.
I follow this Bad Legal Takes account on Twitter, and once in a while I'll see them screenshot somebody who will tweet out like, there's only like two states that can secede from the nation, and one of them is Texas. I'm like, no, they can't. Like, Texas can't just decide to leave the United States and form their own country. It doesn't work like that.
I don't think it's that easy. I mean, it would take quite a bit to get their own country, I think.
Well, you'd have to have, it's treason to leave the Union.
Right.
you'd have to commit treason to make it happen, and that's punishable by death. So,
do you think they would build a wall on the Gulf of Mexico side if they did do that?
I think they kind of already do because they eroded all the beaches.
I mean, Texas on the Gulf of Mexico side has the a big spring break lure for people, because it's really nice on that side of town, like Galveston and Houston. But with their paranoia, they probably build a wall 100% around. Speaking of walls, you remember when Trump said that they were going to build a wall around Colorado? Like, Colorado's not even a border state. I mean, I wouldn't mind having a wall on the Nebraska side, or maybe even the Wyoming side.
Geography is his strong point for sure.
Hell yeah.
I just remember when WWE used to go to Corpus Christi, and then, like, I don't know how many times they had a match where you had to throw your opponent in the Gulf of Mexico to win. or it wasn't even like a, sometimes it wouldn't even be a match. They'd just be fighting and they'd get outside and somebody would go in the Gulf. Because the state, the arena is right on the shore. And there's, in Corpus Christi, they eroded all the beaches. So, like, it's just like a stone wall that's kind of keeping the water at bay. And so, like, they only have to go, like, 100 feet outside, and there's the Gulf. I think Chava Guerrero got thrown in there one time.
Well, they should have brought Hernandez from Impact to do the border toss.
Oh boy, We should probably get started here instead of chit-chatting. I know there's some podcast listeners who don't like when hosts chit-chat before getting into the topics. So I don't want to offend any new listeners who might have that.
Let's do it. Let's appease all our listeners.
All right. Let's go. This is some unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. We have three articles from, I assume, legitimate news sources. And we're going to take a look at them and see what's up. So the first article is from IBT. And I think one of our listeners actually sent this to me. So I'm not familiar with IBT. They appear to be a British outlet. But the headline is, two marijuana smugglers got so paranoid they called the cops on themselves. Two men smuggling marijuana from Las Vegas to Montana got so paranoid after crossing the Idaho border that they called the police on themselves. Leland Ayala Doliente, 22, and Holland Sward, 23, called 911 after pulling over because they thought the cars around them were all unmarked police vehicles.
Wow. Maybe they had some goodies up front that wasn't part of the payload.
Which rule was that in Scarface? Like number 5 or something? Don't get high on your own supply.
Number 1.
Was that number 1?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. I was thinking it was later in the rules.
Or is it 2? I think it's 2 because number 1 is...
Don't underestimate the other guy's greed.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
And then the fly straight, you know, Hassas don't fly straight.
Hassa is a cop that doesn't fly straight. Apparently that's a Jewish term, which was funny. Frank Lopez, he was Jewish, wasn't he? He had the Star David necklace, didn't he?
I don't know. He was definitely Latin in that movie.
His name is Lopez, so he's at least half Latino.
They're normally Christian or Catholics, you know.
Yeah. But I don't know. He's played by Robert Loggia, who I believe is Italian in real
Could
life.
Could be. I mean, like, Pacino is not... He's not Cuban. I mean, it's the 80s. It was a weird time. I mean, just if you look close enough, you're in.
I think Manny was the only, like, Cuban on the cast. Like, everybody else was just pretending.
Well, I mean, Chi-Chi and the crew, I mean, they're all legit. But, yeah, Pacino, he's definitely a white guy. Italian, probably. I mean, yeah, he's played so many different races in, you know, his movies.
What was he in Carlito's Way? Puerto Rican?
Puerto Rican, yeah.
That's a good movie. I need to rewatch that. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while for me, too. I know they made a second movie. I don't think I ever watched it. I want to say P. Diddy was in that one. And I was like, I'm good.
I think it was a prequel. I wonder if Benny Blanco from the Bronx was in it.
He might have been the only one that was in both movies, actually.
Which is funny because I think that second one is a prequel. It's like the rise to power. And so it's like young Carlito. But I'm sure they had fucking John Leguizamo playing himself like 20 years younger, like 15 years after the first movie.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's like American Psycho 2. It's like one of those sequels we just pretend doesn't exist.
I still haven't seen that. I've heard it's not good, but I don't know. Like, I assume it's not very related to the original.
I could never finish the second American Psycho. I started it couple times because I'm like, oh, I love the first one so much, but I think my record was about 20 minutes into the first movie.
Isn't it Mila Kunis, you know, the
yeah, Mila and Shatner's in that one too, I think. Right, exactly. God.
I don't think that one got a theatrical release.
WWE Hall of Famer William Shatner, that is.
He's like 95 years old and he looks the same as he did 35 years ago.
Yeah, those clips that they were playing from the Raw episode of 1992 or whatever he was on with Bret Hart. He looks the same now, still.
Yeah, exactly this. I guess when your hair doesn't change literally in that many years, I guess it's easier to keep your look.
Maybe he's going to Trump's stylist, you know, they just, you know, make their own hair.
Well, he's got a toupee. I think he's, I don't know if he's admitted it, but I think that's the word on William Shatner is that he's had a toupee for many, many years.
I guess he must have never got caught then, because Travolta denied it for a long time, and then they caught him at the gym without his toupee on, and now he's proud to put that you know, the widow's peak part back on when he's ready to shine up for the camera.
Yeah, I remember they had like Travolta was at a like an award show and he had like this like relatively long hair. Like it was growing out. Like he had like it had been growing for like at least a year or so. And then some paparazzi had a picture of him the day before at his own house and he had a buzz cut.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
And I think that's how he got caught. But I don't know. Like Travolta's kind of fallen into the Bruce Willis movie career where all he does is these fucking like made for streaming low budget movies that nobody ever hears about. And then like you go on Amazon Prime and there's like five of them that came out in the first 6 months of the year.
Travolta, Willis, Nicolas Cage.
Steven Seagal.
I think Steven Seagal technically was doing that from the
And Drew,
though.
kidding.
I think that's why Putin likes him so much, because they're all just low budget B movies.
Legit though. Man, if you haven't seen John Travolta in The Fanatic, you need to check that out because it's fucking hilarious. He goes all in 100%, and he plays a character who I don't know. They don't really explicitly say it, but it's implied that he's autistic, and he's just obsessed with this actor, and he's trying to get his autograph and stuff. And yeah, it's quite the movie. Travolta's got this mullet, and then he wears like a floral shirt and like khaki shorts through the whole movie.
Is that a remake of The Fan from back in the day?
No, I don't think so.
It says, I just Googled it because I don't think I've heard of it. It says, directed and co-written by Fred Durst.
Oh yeah, that's right. And Fred Durst directed and wrote
That's amazing. I didn't know Fred Durst was doing that these days.
Like John Travolta's first line in the movie is, "I can't talk long. I gotta poo."
Oh my God, I know what I'm watching tonight.
It's on Amazon Prime, but I think it's Redbox produced it.
I won't be surprised.
But honestly, The Fanatic seems like something a stoner would watch and enjoy. Let's jump back into the article here. In the dispatch call released by East Idaho News, Ayala Doliente introduces himself and Sword as the two dumbasses that got caught trying to bring some stuff through your border. They then say that the cops are driving around them like jack wagons and that they'd just like to end it. There were no police around them while they were making the call, local police confirmed.
I think the cops would say that anyways. Of course we weren't there. No, what do you mean?
This is probably DEA and the local cops just didn't even know about it.
They'll deny it unless they get caught. You know, that's what cops do.
But even so, I wonder where these guys were taken at. But
Somewhere in Montana, it said, and I would probably guess a college somewhere. I don't remember
maybe.
what colleges are up in Montana.
Maybe they're going up to the Yellowstone Ranch. So it's the Kevin Costner's kids.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen that show. That looks good though.
Watched the first season, it was really good, but I haven't stayed up with it, so
I saw it's on Peacock because I was in there watching It's a John Wayne Gacy documentary, which is pretty good. I got a couple episodes left on that. And then I was watching, they have all the old Greed episodes from MSNBC. And they had an episode on The Wolf of Wall Street. What's his name? Jordan.
Jordan Balfour.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty
Belfort,
great.
Or Belfort, or whatever his name was.
Belfort, yes. Yeah, I saw that in there.
Yeah, I think like Yellowstone was on the Paramount Network, so I don't know how long it's going to be on Peacock. Now that Paramount has Paramount Plus.
That's true. It might be in both.
There's so many shows that are on like a bunch of different streaming services now.
Yeah. There's one show I really want to get into. It's Nosferatu from AMC. So it's on AMC On Demand, but it's also on Hulu. But that's because Hulu has a big contract with FX to put all their shows on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Have you seen the old Nosferatu, like from the 20s?
No, I don't watch the old stuff.
It's not good. It's silent. It's a silent movie. It's a German silent movie. It's like the first vampire movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched one episode and they were going to Christmas Town and I'm like, well, it's not Christmas anymore. Like, I'm not really in the mood to keep going right now, but I'll get to it eventually.
Well, you know who didn't get to their destination? These two marijuana smugglers who turned themselves in. When the dispatcher asked if the two men had any weapons on them, Ayala Doliente responded that all they had was just a bunch of snacks and stuff. The dispatcher then tells them that a marked car is on the way and Ayala Doliente thanks him. When two police officers did arrive, they found Ayala Doliente and Sword with their hands behind their heads and the marijuana on the side of the road for the police to see. Investigators found 20 pounds of marijuana and $567 cash in the car. Sword has now been sentenced to 30 days in prison and 5 years probation. Ayala Doliente received an increased sentence of 1.5 to 18 years in prison after he tested positive for marijuana, cocaine, and oxycodone on his sentencing day. This guy got high after he was convicted. I assume they pled guilty, but I assume they sent him home to come back. Or maybe he was in jail or something. I don't know. Because they don't generally sentence you right away.
Yeah.
If you plead guilty. So he was getting high, knowing when his sentencing day was coming. And he fucking pissed hot.
Well, that's weird that, you know, because when they get convicted for distribution, like, why would they have to be clean? Like, I don't understand. But it is Idaho. Like, it's a red state. I don't know how lenient Idaho is on marijuana or drugs in general.
But I'm thinking, like, this was, like, probably weeks after the arrest that he got tested.
Well, yeah, court cases don't take they're not very quick. Unless they just, you know, were so paranoid the whole way through, they just stopped from the side of the road and, like, hurry up and sentence us. We're guilty.
The cops are like, wait a minute, you gotta go to court for this. I can't do shit about that. You gotta see the judge.
I mean, how paranoid are they when you call the cops, they say there's no cops in the area and you have to wait for the car. Wouldn't you just leave?
Well, they probably didn't tell them that. They probably said that later, you know, after the fact. You know, like when the media inquired about it.
You think the cops really rushed out there? I doubt it. They're probably just like taking their time.
Well, they probably did when they heard the one guy's name was Ayala Doliente. That's why he got the harsher sentence. Like, this guy brought it all the way from Mexico. The other guy just kind of like hitchhiked or something.
Well, at least they didn't catch him with the cocaine and oxycodone. But I mean, 30 days for 20 pounds for the one person is not bad. And a year and a half for the other one, I mean, there's no way they're going to make him sit for 8 years in prison, are they? Not when your buddy gets 30 days?
Yeah, I don't know. And it doesn't say anything about priors or anything like that. But I would think that would be a harsher sentence for bringing that much contraband across state lines.
Maybe because they turned themselves in.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they should have said they just found it. It's like somebody just threw a brick of marijuana in my car. Like, I don't even know who it was.
20 pounds, though. It was a whole trunk full, I'm sure.
That's true.
I mean, that had to stink like the whole way. I mean, you made it so far, just to give yourself up.
I mean, they started in Las Vegas. So, I mean, that's they went all the way across the state of Nevada and then into Idaho. And, like, I don't know how – it can't be that far from the one border of Idaho to the other border, like, on that section of the state. Like, just cutting across northern Idaho.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on where you're trying to go in Montana. Well, there's mountains there, too, so that could create a longer drive depending on, you know, how the roads are in Idaho. I've never been in Idaho, but it's really nice up there, though.
Yeah, their football fields are blue.
That's just to catch all the stoners. Like, what's going on here, man? I've seen different colors.
These guys are not cut out for this type of business. Honestly, this sounds like a stoner movie. Like,
oh yeah,
you're gonna smuggle some drugs, some marijuana, cross state borders, and then, you know, probably gonna smoke some along the way. And
sounds like a Cheech and Chong movie.
Or Harold and Kumar.
I think we're parked, man. Oh my God, that Harold and Kumar when they went to Guantanamo Bay and he's like, I got my bong here. And they're like, a bomb? It's a bomb.
And then he served in the White House.
Speaking of the White House, do you know Biden was like, we're not going to worry about any prior marijuana use that you had. You know, if we hire you for a job, and then they hired these people and they're like, just kidding. You're fired. It's a national security problem, potential national security problem, he said.
That's right. And then the rest of his party's like, maybe we should just legalize it.
Nope. We're going to ban menthols instead.
Oh my
damn God. Menthols.
I don't know how that's not racist. He's like, you know, more black people smoke menthols than anybody.
It's like an attack on black people. He's probably like, we're going to help them. They're all going to quit smoking.
Like, yeah, like that's just going to piss them off.
But it's not just menthols. They're banning all the flavored cigars, too, that they roll up the weed with. Like, it's fucking like, it's like pow, pow.
Like what Bun B always raps about, Swisher Sweets.
Well, I mean, Paul Wall was part of Swisher House in Houston. That's because they smoked all these Swishers there.
The people's champ, Paul Wall.
Swishers are probably one of the worst cigars you could use to roll up, but they're cheap. They're cheap. I'll give you that.
I'm sure. But yeah, too, like people, I see people commenting on those articles about Biden wanting to ban menthol cigarettes and stuff, and like ban all tobacco. And like I always think, like I mentioned this on the podcast in the past, like, how many jobs is that going to fucking get rid of by just banning tobacco in America? Like, you're going to lose so many fucking jobs. Like, farmers, factory workers, truck drivers. Like, they're all going to be fucked because you got mad at somebody who likes to smoke.
That, yeah. You know, don't just ban the flavored tobacco. If you're going to ban it all or don't do anything. You know, just have it free and clear and let everybody make decisions as an adult.
I saw in the news the other day that the local news here in Minnesota, there's a suburb of Minneapolis who is going to stop issuing tobacco licenses. So, like, if you already have one, you can continue selling tobacco. But if you're a new business and you want to apply for a tobacco license, they won't give it to you. And so, like, the idea is eventually all the old tobacco licenses will expire, or like those businesses will move or go under, and there won't be any tobacco sold in the whole city, and that'll solve all the problems.
We just have the government stop trying to be our parents already. Like,
no shit.
We don't need them to tell us what to do. We don't need that.
Well, you and I don't, but apparently there's a lot of people who do. Like Leland Ayala Doliente and Holland Sword, apparently. They should get a real job. Come on. Like, you can smoke weed at home and just fucking leave the smuggling and the transporting to other people.
Final thought on this article before we move on is kind of makes me think of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, where he sees the bats and he's got the fly swatter.
It's bad country.
He freaks out Tobey Maguire in the backseat.
Did I say that out loud? Or did I just think it? Yeah, that's a great movie. Love that movie. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Don't call the cops on yourself while we're away, so that you can come back for our next story. All right, welcome back. Our next story comes from the New York Post. And the headline is, South Florida restaurant buys robots to fight staffing issues.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, I don't know. Like I mentioned in the opening that this may or may not be the Walmart robots that got fired last year. Do you remember that?
I was going to say, this is the opposite of what Walmart did.
It's like, I don't, maybe all the Walmart robots were like, you know, looking for jobs. And then this restaurant's like, all right, we'll hire some robots.
We're only here till we get back on our feet.
I need to pay my way through college.
Scanning your food for any hair or cool spots.
Yeah, I've seen commercials recently where Domino's says they're experimenting with driverless delivery vehicles. And it can't, for the love of God, be worse than the drivers they have now. Especially with their contactless delivery. Ah, it fucking pisses me off.
I hate when they leave it on the ground and then they knock on the door and they walk away. Like, there's so many people that knock on my apartment by accident. Like, what if you leave my food somewhere else, you know? And then I'm just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there because you didn't verify it's the right plot, the right place.
Yeah, I live in an apartment too. Like, I live on the first floor, and it's basically you walk in, you go to the hallway, turn left, and then you just walk until you get to my apartment. Like, it's not that hard to find. And literally every other delivery service will do that. They'll buzz in, and then they'll come to my door, knock on it, and they'll wait till I answer it and hand it to me. Domino's calls me, even though I put in my driver directions to buzz in and bring it to my apartment. They call me and they say, "We're not allowed to enter any buildings. Can you come out and meet me outside?" And fucking last time I ordered it, I'm like, fuck it, fine, I'll go meet you at the front door. And by the time I get there, the dude's gone. And he's left my food, like I ordered some pasta, and he left it on the radiator underneath the buzzer to buzz my apartment to get into the building. And he was long gone. I'm like, this is a public fucking area. Like, anybody could come in and fuck with the food or take it or like...
That, next time they do that to me, I mean, like, they don't... I don't have a hallway where they got to buzz in. They can come directly to my door because it's an outdoor, yeah, it's all open air. But next time they do that to me, I'm going to just call like in a half an hour and be like, where's my food? Right. Can you send it back out? Like, I know I don't see any food out here.
I bitched on Twitter about it last time it happened and they didn't respond to me. But I went through like the replies, Domino's Twitter accounts replies. I'm like, God, I don't know how many people were bitching about their food was 2 hours late or like their order was canceled and nobody told them. And then they tried to call the restaurant and they got hung up on. It's just like
one after another. Like, Pizza did that to me one time because they didn't know for a while which store delivered to me. And so, like, I ordered online and it picked this one store. And then I got the text that was out for delivery. And then an hour later, I'm like, the delivery guy never came. And then I called them. They're like, we canceled your order. I'm like, what do you mean? You texted out for delivery. No one called me that you just canceled it? Like, what? You just cancel orders and you don't send out a notice. Instead, you say Alfred delivery. Fuck you.
Right? Exactly. Oh, it's so bad. Domino's ruined their pizza, like, what, 15 years ago or whenever they changed it? Probably a little less, maybe 12 years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't mind the new sauce.
Their old pizza was, like, my favorite of all the fast food pizza deliveries. And since they changed it, I do it maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a year at most, as opposed to, like, monthly or more often.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't order them very often either.
And their delivery is even more incentive to not order from them. But could you imagine having to go outside and get your pizza out of the fucking car? And do I still tip it? Like, do I have to put in a tip for your fucking driverless car?
Yeah, I would hope not. I mean, I don't know. I still remember the one guy that accused me of stealing his fucking, his warming bag. You know, that they carry the pizzas in, you know, because the guy got lost. This was back in Minnesota. I lived about a mile from the store, real close, real easy to get to. And then the guy came, eventually found me, and then called me back like 3 hours later. Like, you have my bag? Like, where's my bag? Give me my bag. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Like, you made me come down to the buzzer area because you said you didn't want to come. You couldn't come up to my apartment directly. Because you're worried about getting robbed. Like I couldn't rob you at the fucking buzzer either, you know?
Right. I guess there's a lot of crooks just wandering the hallways of the apartment building inside the security door.
Yeah, crazy guy. I don't know. Call me hours later. I'm like, you're fucking nuts, man. Like, you carried the shit back out. Like, if you lost your bag, it's on you, not me. Like, you handed me the pizza, not the bag.
Like, why would I want the bag in the first place? Like, what use do I have for this?
Yeah, I don't know. It was wild.
Well, let's read some of this article. It says, the future of food is here. A restaurant in Florida has added several new high-tech workers to its roster. After struggling with staffing issues, the seafood place decided to invest in robots to help deliver food to tables and perform other important tasks. Mr. Q Crab House in Hollywood, Florida, invested in 3 food service robots, Fox 23 reports. The electronic workers have been performing various tasks normally assigned to servers and other front-of-house workers. The business's owner, Joy Wang, reportedly decided to invest $30,000 in the robots because the restaurant was struggling with staffing issues. According to the news outlet, the robots are being used to greet customers, help them to their seats, and will even run food out to tables. Human servicers are still taking orders. The robots will reportedly also help sing happy birthday to customers in 4 different languages.
Wow. I've seen some memes about those restaurants that come out and sing happy birthday. It's like, you know, it's like the broken down bean people of society that have like drug and alcohol issues that just came back from a cigarette break come out to sing your happy birthday to your 5-year-old kid.
I wonder if Paulie's robot from Rocky IV got a job here after Stallone cut him out of the director's cut.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Paulie.
We're going to make ends meet.
He was already good at singing happy birthday and bringing the cake out with the candle in it. He's already trained.
Well, you know, this is a good 30 grand by this owner because, you know, it's hard to find 3 people that will want to earn 10 grand a year from her instead.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and then they want... you know, healthcare and stuff like that. Plus, like, if Florida is doing a $15 minimum wage, like, I mean, that's like 4 months worth of fucking wages.
Oh, yeah. Easy. You know?
Well, maybe not 4 months, but, you know, maybe 6 or 7 months. But still, I mean, you're saving a ton of money by getting rid of, you know, real people and hiring robots. Says, while the robots are helping out with the servers, Fox 23 reports that they don't share in the tips. Apparently the human workers keep those for themselves. Greedy bastards. This is just the latest story to surface of a restaurant having staffing issues. Fox News previously reported that a TikTok user named Brittany Logan recently shared footage of a note she found at a McDonald's drive-thru. In the video's caption, Logan described the note as savage. As it appears in the video, the note says, "We are short-staffed. Please be patient with the staff that did show up. No one wants to work anymore."
Well, of course, Fox News is going to point that out because Republicans have been trying to, you know, undermine the stimulus bills. And, you know, they're partially right. You know, the unemployment is definitely way better than you make it, you know, a job like this. But it goes to show that the problem is, you know, way deeper than just, you know, a stimulus bill. It's fucking like who should be making, you know, $7 an hour, you know, like how can you live off of that?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's such a complex issue, but it is interesting that they did increase the payout for unemployment to the point where you're making more by not working than you are by working in a lot of jobs.
Well, and then the other comeback the Republicans always have is pull yourself up by your bootstraps and find yourself a better job. And now they're pissed that, you know, nobody wants the bottom feeding jobs either.
That's true. I'm sure nobody wants to work at McDonald's. Although, I don't know. Like, McDonald's, one of the things I like about McDonald's when they advertise for jobs, they're like, "We're proud to be America's first job." You know,
usually is. I worked at McDonald's a couple of years in high school.
But like you worked there a few years, you advanced a little bit, and then you moved on. Like, there's other people who have worked the fucking drive-through window for 15 years and they haven't had any kind of advancement or anything whatsoever to improve their position in the company or to look elsewhere. And it's like, I mean, how much sympathy do I have for that person, you know, that they're
right,
that they haven't they haven't increased their salary through hard work and advancement. But I don't know
how long I would have made it if I stayed, because when I left they started putting cameras all over the place. And I used to give everybody I was friends with free food, like, all the time. Same with everybody I worked with. Like, we were just giving away the house.
Well, they couldn't have been doing too bad. They did a full remodel and all that not that long after you were out of there.
That's true.
I think they did it a couple times. I think there was a couple times where they basically tore it down and rebuilt it from scratch.
I think one time they did completely tear it down, and then now it has whatever the new look they have going on with it, right?
So I don't think it could be that bad. You know, they must have been making some money.
Well, all the money's going to corporate, you know, because they're getting all the money, and then the stores just barely get by, I think, is how it goes.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, I guess that just goes to show that maybe once you got out of there, business picked up.
Did you see that movie with Michael Keaton where he was Ray Kroc?
No, I never got around to watching that.
He didn't start McDonald's. It was these two other guys in California, and he was so impressed with it that he wanted to take it national, and he kind of like convinced these guys to, you know, sign a contract, and eventually he just got so big he just pushed them out and made it his own. He basically stole McDonald's from the original guys.
That's true. That's a true story. I've heard that story before where he basically finessed the whole thing from the original owners.
Yeah, he was just some dirtbag salesman selling whatever he could sell. He was selling some like milkshake thing, I think was how he found the McDonald's. And then eventually he just, you know, franchised out the store and cranked up that fee high enough where he made so much money and just pushed him out.
I mean, that's capitalism for you, right? All right, let's get back to the article. It says the message appears to be referencing issues that restaurants have been having with staffing. In the video's comments, several TikTok users complain that due to fear of the pandemic and the expanded unemployment benefits, it's apparently been hard to get restaurants fully staffed. Several users who work in the food industry chimed in, with one reply saying, "It's sad because it's true. We've been trying to hire people at a restaurant and nobody wants to work." I mean, I can't blame them. I mean, you know, during the pandemic, I can see people, you know, not wanting to be exposed to that many strangers throughout the day, you know, and who else, who knows what else is going on there. I'm sure it's not not the best.
Well, I can tell you there's a certain crowd that goes to McDonald's. Like, yeah. There's a section of the society that you see, because I've worked at McDonald's and I worked at a gas station. At the gas station, you see everybody because everybody needs gas, right? And that was pre-electric cars. So, yeah, McDonald's, you know, it's not always the cleanest or, you know, the most hygienic people that are going there all the time. I mean, it's a lot of kids, too, which are kind of dirty germ blowers and, you know.
And I know in some neighborhoods you'll see videos of, like, homeless people camping out in the McDonald's and stuff like that, so.
I mean, if you're at White Castle, they're throwing chairs at the other customers after dark.
I've seen that in several McDonald's as well. And then Waffle House especially. Waffle House, they always end up with their clothes off for some reason. Like, for some reason, when they fight in the Waffle House, they rip each other's clothes off. And it's never the people that should have their clothes ripped off.
Speaking of Waffle House, did you see the one where the worker was, like, passed out? So, like, the customer went and, like, made his own breakfast. It was after bar closed, like, 2, 3 in the morning. Either nobody was there or the worker was passed out. I forget which is which now. But he took pictures and posted it. I think he eventually got offered a job to cook there.
No, thank you.
I've been to Waffle House once. It was an experience. It was at 2 in the morning. I think it was after I saw Chappelle at Red Rocks, actually. It was quite interesting. No fights, though, that night at least. But
yeah, I don't even have Waffle Houses around here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably just go to Denny's after, you know, midnight and be, you know, pretty close to the same.
Possibly. I've been getting Denny's quite a bit lately. Their pancakes are pretty fucking good. But I've been getting, like, takeout and delivery. Like, I haven't been inside of Denny's in probably decades. But the one over here is pretty new, though. They built it maybe 5 years ago. So, and, like, there's nobody ever there. So, I don't know, like, how they stay in business.
The last time I went to Denny's, it was late night. I forget what we were doing. I think we went to the club and came back. This was Minnesota. And then there was, like, a section of people sitting there, and there's waitresses and whatever. And there was a lobby full of people waiting to get seated. And I'm like, why are you waiting? Because, like, there's all these open spots. And the waitresses would just kind of look at us and just keep walking by, you know. And after about 10 minutes, I started asking people, I'm like, have they even come over here? And they're like, no. Like, we're waiting to get on the list. I'm like, you're waiting to get on the list? Like, we've been here 10 minutes, and you've been here how long? Like, nobody's even, like, put you on the list or asked to sit you. Like, I was like, we're leaving. I think that was the last time I even attempted the Denny's run.
And then somebody stepped aside, and you saw that sign that said, please seat yourself.
And then I think we went to Perkins instead, and we sat next to this couple that they put, like, $3 to look like they paid their bill in cash, and then they ran, but they left their cell phone. So they paid $3 on a $30 bill, but they forgot their cell phone.
Oh, that'll do it.
It was a night. Yeah, it was fun.
I gotta say, I don't think a robot at a restaurant like this would be so bad to, you know, serve you food and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, if McDonald's did robots, I wouldn't mind that because, you know, then they wouldn't have to hire any English speakers. Oops, did I say that loud? Because right now, half of them have the little kiosk where you order your food yourself and then you have them bring it out and then that's it. Like, you don't got to talk to nobody.
Well, that too, like, they still have humans taking orders. I think, you know, if they get to the point where they just have like a touchpad on your table and you could just punch in your order yourself, like, that makes things so much easier. Like, ordering takeout online is so much better than having to call in and like them misunderstanding you or getting your order wrong. Like, at least you know you punched it in right.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think if you order pizza online, you should get a discount for not having to engage an employee over the phone. Like, you're saving them money by not having to talk to somebody on the phone.
Exactly. I agree.
But it's not the way.
I always like when you do your own order at McDonald's and you go sit down, because I'll do that with the kids once in a while. And then they're like, did you get your drinks? I'm like, what do you mean? Did I get my drinks? They're fucking, we're sitting here. There's no drinks on our table. You just brought out our food. This is the first time I interacted with a person. What do you mean?
Do you see drinks? We've already thrown them away. I'm all for more robots in restaurants. The less perky waiters I have to, or waitresses that I have to deal with, the better.
The only restaurant they should not take away the waitresses is Hooters. Or Twin Peaks. That's another one like Hooters too.
Well, on that note, let's go to our third article for some more fun. It's from ABC News. And the headline is, colorful coffins lighten mood at New Zealand funerals. At one recent funeral in New Zealand, there were gasps before a wave of laughter rippled through the hundreds of mourners.
Well, if they were laughing at the picture here, if that was the one, it's a fucking, the casket looks like a big hot dog. I think that's a hot dog.
I think so. It looks like a hot dog with mustard and ketchup on it, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I take that back. It says it's a cream donut.
It's a donut. I was going to say, it kind of looks like a banana in the middle. That's why I'm not sure. A banana in a hot dog bun, but
it's like a Long John with cream inside it. So it says, when the pallbearers brought Phil McLean's coffin into the chapel, there were gasps before a wave of laughter rippled through the hundreds of mourners. The coffin was a giant cream donut. It overshadowed the sadness and the hard times in the last few weeks, said his widow, Deborah. The final memory in everyone's mind was of that donut and Phil's sense of humor. He loved to laugh. The donut was the latest creation by Phil's cousin, Ross Hall, who runs a business in Auckland, New Zealand called Dying Art, which custom builds colorful coffins. Other creations by Hall include a sailboat, a fire truck, a chocolate bar, and Lego blocks. There have been glittering coffins covered in fake jewels, a casket inspired by the movie The Matrix, and plenty of coffins depicting people's favorite beaches and holiday spots. There are people who are happy with a brown mahogany box, and that's great, said Hall. But if they want to shout it out, I'm here to do it for them.
It sounds like a more of an ad for his, what did they say? He was a cousin? It's, yeah. Like, I wonder if the guy that died even knew that this was the coffin they were going to choose for him. Cousin's just like, it's what he would have wanted. Please send more business my way.
Like, this guy's like a CrossFit guy and a vegan, and like, he never ate donuts in his life, though. So they're like, we're going to put him in a donut. Got no sense of humor.
I mean, what's the point? Don't they fill the graves with cement so you don't come back as a zombie anyways?
Do they? I don't know if they do that or not.
That was what the Mayor West did on Family Guy, I think it was.
That reminds me, I once saw The Undertaker get buried alive at the Target Center in Minneapolis.
That's the only Paul Bear I'll recognize.
He was wrestling Kane. It was in the middle of the show. It was like an hour and a half into the show. Undertaker and Kane are wrestling, and it's a buried alive match. They get a mound of dirt, like on the stage by the entrance ramp. And eventually the Nexus came out and helped Kane. It was like 10 on one beating up the Undertaker. They get him in the grave. And then there was a, like a backhoe filled with dirt. It was like just over the top of the grave. And Kane did his deal where he like raises his arms up and then puts them down real hard, which usually shoots off the pyro on the ring post. But it caused the backhoe to flip the shovel over and dump all the dirt on top of the Undertaker. And then they just went on with the show from there. Like, nobody came out, like they didn't even pretend to be like, oh my God, I'm concerned for this guy's safety. He's been buried alive. We need to get him out of there. They just left it there for the next hour and a half.
Oh, I bet.
And they just had three more matches after that.
Well, I just watched an old pay-per-view from 1998. It was Stone Cold versus Undertaker in a buried alive match. And they had a huge amount of dirt. It wasn't on the stage. It was a little bit off. But somehow in the middle of the match, Kane came up from underneath the grave. Like, he must have had some kind of trap door there. And then they had a huge backhoe of dirt and just, you know, buried the Undertaker in it eventually and just went about their way. Like, we're not going to try to dig him up because obviously there's a back door there.
And I assume that was like the end of the show though. Like, they cut to black and then.
Yeah. Yeah. It was rock bottom because I was like, you know, they made a pay-per-view about after they named it after The Rock. And The Rock was the co-main event for his title shot, which he had to cheat to win. Actually, he lost. And then they said because he got submitted instead of pinned, which technically he was out and they could have pinned him, done the pin anyways, that he got to retain the belt. So, like, he lost, but they had a technicality last second to have him keep the belt at his own pay-per-view, which he did not headline.
Yeah. If you have Peacock, I don't know if it's on there right now, but Bragging Rights 2010. That's the pay-per-view where I saw the Undertaker get buried alive. And it's still funny to me to think, like, you know, we're supposed to like pretend like it's real. Like, we know it's not real, but like, at least like within the show itself, like, we're supposed to pretend like everything is like real. But like, when you bury a guy alive, and then you're just like, okay, next up is I don't know who was next, like John Cena or something. I don't know. But like, they just go on with the next match. Like, it was just so funny to me. Like, wouldn't you think somebody would come out and try to like dig him up? Or like we just witnessed a murder on TV, you know, in person. Like, there's 15,000 witnesses. Like, somebody call 911.
It's funny because the people that believe wrestling the most are the ones who don't really go to the shows, because if you go to the show, it's obviously, you know, stage. Everything is stage. I mean, I haven't been to a pay-per-view yet in person, but like, been to Raw a couple times now, and I went to Dynamite too for AEW, and you know, you can see them chatting in the ring and being all buddy-buddy, and they turn off the character for a second.
Or like, if you go to a TV taping and they go to commercial, like, they'll just turn the lights down and the guys will have a conversation in the ring.
You know? Oh, you remember that at the beginning of the pandemic when they had, it was like a tag match of Natalia versus Sasha Banks and somebody, and, well, Alexa Bliss, I think, was in there. And, you know, they came back from commercial a little earlier than they expected. And they were just sitting in the ring talking.
It was live TV, but there was nobody in the audience to watch it. Like, they were just wrestling for the TV cameras, and they decided, like, during the commercial, we're just gonna stop wrestling and then we'll pick it up, like, just time for the live
they TV missed the cue out. They missed the cue. It was hilarious.
I think they've since changed it to where they continue wrestling during the commercials just to avoid that.
Yeah, and I think that makes more sense overall. Get them ready when they do have the crowds again. But oh my God. I don't think I actually got that version because it was on SmackDown and it's an hour delayed being here in Mountain Time. So I they cut that out for me. But I saw it online. Internet never lies.
It's true. All right, back to the article. The idea first came to Hall about 15 years ago when he was writing a will and contemplating his own death. How do I want to go out? He thought to himself, deciding it wouldn't be like everyone else. So I put in my will that I want a red box with flames on it. 6 months later, Hall, whose other business is a signage and graphics company, decided to get serious. He approached a few funeral directors who looked at him with interest and skepticism. But over time, the idea took hold. Hall begins with special-made blank coffins and uses fiberboard and plywood to add details. A latex digital printer is used for the designs. Some orders are particularly complex, like the sailboat, which included a keel and rudder, cabin, sails, even metal railings and pulleys. Depending on the design, the coffins retail for between 3,000 and 7,500 New Zealand dollars, which is about 2,100 to 5,400 American dollars. Hall said the tone of the funerals has changed markedly over recent years. People now think it's a celebration of life rather than a mourning of death, he said, and they've been willing to throw out stuffy conventions in favor of getting something unique. But a donut.
You remember the one guy? I think a couple have done it now, but there was that one guy. I think he was in Boston because he was wearing a Boston Kevin Garnett jersey. And they posed him sitting up playing video games for his funeral, and everybody came in and was like, what the fuck? Is he alive?
There was one article last year. I think it was maybe in Jamaica. I think this guy had died of COVID. And for some reason, they just sat him up, like the same thing. Like they sat him up in a chair inside the church. And then somebody says, sir, you got to get out of here if you're not going to wear a mask. So they put him outside the church.
Wow.
Because he refused to wear a mask because he was dead. It was his funeral.
It's your funeral, buddy. If you don't wear that mask, it's your funeral. Oh, it is his funeral.
So I don't know, like, what exactly happened with that. Or, like, if people were, like, coming in and, like, giving him a high five, you know?
How would you not know? So you worked there. No one told you?
That's like, his the picture. They got a framed picture of him right next to him. It's like, didn't Carbonaro do something like that? The Carbonaro effect or whatever it's called.
I don't remember.
Where he had somebody come out of the casket.
He's done some really good ones. Like he did a tanning booth in the mall, and then all of a sudden, like, it's just the clothes in there. Like it disintegrated the body and left the clothes. It freaked a few people out that way. That was great.
Oh, that's good. So let's continue the article here. But a donut. Deborah McLean said she and her late husband, who was 68 when he died in February, used to tour the country in their motorhome, and Phil loved comparing cream donuts in every small town, considering himself something of a connoisseur. Something tells me that Phil was a large man. He considered a good
maybe
donut.
Maybe he shouldn't have gone town to town eating all the donuts. Maybe he should have like done that over a couple days.
At least it was a cream donut and not another type of cream. He considered a good donut one that was crunchy on the outside, airy in the middle, and definitely made with fresh cream. After Phil was diagnosed with bowel cancer, no shit, huh? He had time to think about his funeral and, along with his wife and cousin, came up with the idea for the donut coffin. Deborah said they even had 150 donuts delivered to the funeral in Tauranga from Phil's favorite bakery in Wodeonga, more than 160 kilometers or 100 miles away.
Oh, that reminds me. Whatever happened to that guy that was bringing the donuts to the University of Minnesota from Iowa at the beginning of COVID? You remember that?
Vaguely.
They, I don't know. Something happened where they got mad at him for doing it because I forget why. Taxes, probably.
I think he was bringing Krispy Kremes, right? Because there's no Krispy Kreme stores in Minnesota anymore.
Yeah. And then they helped him become a full-time delivery guy after that or something. That was how they worked it out. I forget what it was, but
I wonder who called the cops on him. Maybe called them on himself.
Sorry for bringing his Krispy Kremes across your border.
I'm smuggling Krispy Kremes and there's cops all around me and they won't pull me over.
It may be cocaine on these donuts and not sugar.
Powdered donuts make me go nuts. That's the wheelchair cat. That's his line from Nick Swardson's Pretend Time. The wheelchair cat.
Oh my God, Swardson was hilarious.
They were in the club and somebody dropped their, I think it was the cat's owner's son who was jealous of the cat because the cat inherited the owner's wealth. And so he was always mad at the cat. And they were in the club and the guy dropped his cocaine. And somebody picked it up and the cat's got like the Stephen Hawking computer so he can talk.
Yeah.
And he's like, give it to me. I'll take it into the bathroom and flush it down the toilet. The woman's like, why did you type I was like, just give it to me, woman. And then she gives him the bag of cocaine and as he's rolling away, he goes, powder donuts make me go nuts.
I miss that show so much. Oh my God. I had totally forgot about that one too.
And then the son of the cat's owner was dating the heir to the Snapple beverage fortune.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I'm gonna have to go look that up again because it's fucking hilarious. I think that was my favorite sketch on the whole show.
I always liked the gay robot and the docu-sex show HR guy. I'm filling in at 7 o'clock. I got to go.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. We should wrap this story up. Hall said his coffins are biodegradable and are usually buried or cremated along with the deceased. The only one he's ever gotten back is his cousin's, he said, because he used polystyrene and shaving foam, which is not environmentally friendly. Phil was switched to a plain coffin for his cremation, and Hall said he'll keep the donut coffin forever. For now, it remains in the back of his white 1991 Cadillac hearse. As for his own funeral, Hall said he's changed his mind about those red flames. He's emailed his kids saying he wants to be buried in a clear coffin wearing nothing but a leopard pattern string.
Oh, no.
The kids say they're not going to do it, he says with a laugh.
This is not going.
Oh, they're not going. Oh, to his funeral.
That's hilarious. I mean, like, if you are old and wrinkly, like, would you still want to do that? Like, if you die in your prime, I would say go for it, sure.
Yeah, well, those New Zealand people are, you know, those Kiwis are a different breed.
They really are, but they're COVID-free, so I'd go there and sit in quarantine for a couple weeks in order to, you know, start over, sure.
It's true. Although here, I don't know, we live in states that are still at least somewhat locked down.
Yeah.
Like, they're opening up, like, other states, like Florida and Texas are doing.
Can we just move to a state where we pretend it's gone already?
Well, that's the thing, like, the states with more strict restrictions have higher instance of cases.
It flip-flop, but, you know, those states that are opening, they had way high rates already. So I think they just got their herd immunity already.
Probably. I did see that the CDC, or was it the World Health Organization, flip-flopped on lockdowns being effective in preventing COVID.
Well, there's a few things that have been flip-flopped. The other one was the whole you don't have to incessantly clean all the surfaces anymore. Like, that's you know, not how you pass it around. Like, from the bat, I was all like, I'm more afraid of the chemicals you're using on this shit than what you're saying I'm gonna get if you don't do that. Like, I was dying from bleach one time because this girl fucking at Super America, she poured like a whole jug of fucking bleach in the back room to get back at me for something I said or did. I forget what I did, but I was sick off of bleach for 3 days. It was horrible.
Oh my god. Fuck. Ugh, I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to add something to it, and then you went on your bleach story.
You're probably... had a flashback to your true crime, like, oh, you know, I need more bleach to clean up these stains in my fucking in my bathroom.
Oh, well, I guess we'll just wrap it up there. If you want a fun funeral, call up that guy in New Zealand. I wonder if he ships overseas. Can you imagine them doing that at our fucking... Well, I don't know. There's funerals around here in general.
I want to get cremated. So, like, do I even need a coffin to get cremated?
That's what I don't get. Like, they make you buy a coffin and then they burn it with you. Like, can't you just throw me in there? Like, you get the ashes back and it's 90% wood.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, we'll see.
We'll smoke it and then we'll have each other, like, how high? You know, anytime we miss each other, we need to film a new podcast. We're going to roll blunt with a little bit of Wolfie in it.
Well, you got a couple weeks before the blood clots set in, so.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, thanks for sticking with us to the end. Come back for more. Yeah, hopefully I'll survive my vaccine and all the side effects and shit like that. But we got a big backlog of episodes as well that you can power through and binge at your leisure. I would appreciate it if you could share the podcast with your friends and family, anybody that you think might enjoy it. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a rating and a review to help get more people to see the podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter at PositivelyWolf1. Or if you want to email the show, you can reach us at PositivelyWolfie@comcast.net. Thanks again and have a great day.